You found it. The best place for live, local, conservative talk in the morning. The Commute with Carlson. Stimulating, entertaining, and making a difference. Here's John Carlson on Talk Radio 570 KVI.
On one hand, you have common sense. On the other hand, you have laws, ordinances, and city rules. And sometimes they just clash.
I like that. On the one hand, you have common sense. On the other hand, you have government. And they don't always go together. Welcome, everybody. Wednesday edition of the John Carlson Show, Talk Radio 570 KVI. I don't know, Philip J. Vandervoort III, our senior chief executive producer, I think Marina is maybe bluffing a bit on the weather front.
Yeah. 30 degrees? Is that what you were getting at?
Okay, in Seattle, it's 30.
Well, I rode into work on my Harley wearing a tank top.
I see that. Flip flops and shorts, too.
He went OCC and went with the tank top.
It is chilly. And you know what else? It's slick out there, too. And it doesn't look like it is, but it is.
Yeah. And here's the thing. In Bremerton, it's 19 degrees.
Dang. Olympia. They're always trying to, outpace. Seattle, King County, and they did it again.
The capital has 21 degrees this morning.
Man, how is it so warm in Seattle?
I know. It's downright balmy here. So,
So here we are basking in the low 30s.
Yeah, we're the sun belt, the heat belt here of inner Puget Sound.
And winter doesn't actually start for a couple of weeks, so I thought it was kind of illegal until winter starts to get temperatures this low.
Yeah, but I think you're absolutely right about this idea. Just be super cautious out there this morning. Take a little extra time. Don't be in a rush. And as Marina said in her newscast, warm up the car. You're going to thank yourself for that one.
Yeah, I say yes. Take a little extra time on the road. Maybe it means spending an extra 10 minutes listening to the show. That's not a bad thing.
I hadn't thought of it that way.
So be safe and listen to us more. And you're in great shape here. Heard this and every day of the work week here from 5 to 9, the John Carlson Show, Talk Radio 570 KVI. You're going to absolutely love our first story. By now, you probably know all about this 11-year-old girl in Portland. If you hadn't already heard, this story kind of broke over the weekend. So when things happen during a holiday weekend, they get noticed and sometimes they don't. But it's gone national. Here's the deal. This little girl, and I'm guessing she's got a media-savvy dad here in the background, okay? But be that as it may, this little girl decided she wanted to make some money selling mistletoe. And her uncle has a mistletoe farm. And so she goes to the Portland market, the public market there, where you've got people who are openly begging for money on the corner. But she was told that while they can beg, she, an 11-year-old girl, was not allowed to sell mistletoe.
It's crazy. People can get money for pot, but I can't get money for braces. I'm working for this. They're just sitting down on their butts all day asking for pot.
Okay, that's 11-year-old Madison Root, future Republican voter, who was just completely confused and baffled about why she can't sell something to someone for money, but someone can beg for money or, offer to sell drugs for money. Anyway, she was kicked out of the public farmers market there in Portland because she was selling without a permit. And the security guard who basically told her to skedaddle said, well, you can beg, but you can't sell. Here's more of Madison's story from our Portland sister station, K2, KATU.
The vendors compete and pay for these spaces.
I have mistletoe that I handpicked yesterday.
An 11-year-old doesn't know that.
You are a troublemaker.
Yes.
Madison's young. She's not naive. She knows the Skidmore Fountain's a city park, open to everyone. And by everyone, I mean everyone.
The Saturday market is kind of a diverse place.
Yes.
You see a lot of people doing all kinds of things here.
Yes.
Did you think you'd have any problems?
No, I wouldn't think that I have any problems because people are asking for money. People are selling stuff. This is a public place.
Give me a smile.
Her smile's why she cut, chopped, and bagged 100 bags of mistletoe from her uncle's farm. She's raising money for braces. Portland Parks Bureau says you still need a license to sell, but you can always just beg.
There are people just next to me that have big signs that say, got pot. They're raising money for pot, and I'm trying to sell mistletoe.
How come you don't want to beg?
I don't want to beg. It's just, I would rather work for something than beg.
You have to wonder, how old does someone have to be before that gets hammered out of their system and they say, hey, wait a minute, begging isn't so bad after all. You know, I mean, I'm glad at age 11 she hasn't, quote, evolved in that direction. But here's a little bit more of 11-year-old Madison Root in Portland venting her frustration about being kicked out of selling mistletoe at the Portland Farmers Market while people are allowed to beg for money so they can buy drugs.
It's not about the mistletoe. It's not about me being kicked out. And it's not about me. It's about all of us. It's about how we're raising wimps. How people would rather beg for money than work hard.
Kind of that.
You're motivated.
Wow! I like this kid. Or that. Future KVI talk show host Madison Root here.
I didn't even ask you a question. You got yourself fired up, Maddie.
Anyway, this is a wonderful, vivid snapshot of liberalism in action, urban liberalism in particular. That someone who shows the initiative to work is discouraged. You find a reason to say no to someone who is trying to engage in enterprise, while you are freely allowing, even enabling, people who wish to beg. And even suggesting to the person you're kicking out of the market, well, you can't sell, but you can go ahead and beg along with everybody else. And of course, she just refuses to do that.
We need to raise awareness that people are begging instead of working hard, which that this generation, we don't want tons of beggars out in the street.
Sometimes it takes a fresh voice to puncture City Hall.
I suspect our Parks Commissioner is going to be looking into that with the Parks Department and trying to figure out whether or not there is an intervention.
After our stories, in the mayor's office, they too admit maybe this 11-year-old can teach some grown-ups a thing or two.
Wait a minute. Did you just hear what that City Hall spokesman said? We are reviewing the situation, and maybe there is call for an intervention here. An intervention? I thought an intervention is when you call the family drug addict over ostensibly, you know, for a ball game, and he walks in, and everybody's there facing him. I thought that was an intervention, telling him to get into rehab.
To clean up their act?
Yeah. But here you have his... I mean, just the language of government, it just drives you nuts. But anyway, back to normality, back to 11-year-old Madison Root.
I want people to know that we need to build up America's work ethic.
This kid is showing more common sense than Portland city government. This 11-year-old showing more common sense than the Portland City Council. This 11-year-old could teach Seattle City Council member-elect Shama Sawant a thing or two about economics and about how to make your way in the world. So, you know, good for you, little 11-year-old Madison. And by the way, I guess, Phil, that the Portland Farmers Market is doing a 180 on this?
Yeah, there's been a lot of backlash since they said that she can't participate and she has to get a permit and all that stuff. And they've invited her back now.
They've now invited her back.
Smart PR move.
Yeah. Well, it's called damage control, I think. Very good. Anyway, you're listening to the John Carlson Show.
I've also just seen a tweet go through Tweetertown that says the Occupy Wall Street people want to find out Madison's address so that they can go occupy her front yard.
Yeah.
They say,
that's right.
She's too business centric.
She's dangerous.
Yes, there she's dangerous.
She's a tool of Wall Street.
Stooge for business
centric. She's probably subsidized by the Koch brothers. There's probably some Republican National Committee money underwriting her little campaign here. I'm sure that that mistletoe comes from a farm in a red state. Madison Root is not the only entrepreneur who's turning heads. Let's go all the way across the country to Detroit. One of our KVI listeners, and by the way, some of our best stories come to us as news tips from KVI listeners. Gene and Lacey tipped us to a story. He just saw a 10-year-old girl in Detroit, of all places, a city that is in bankruptcy right now, who is turning heads as a budding entrepreneur. You're going to hear her story in just a quick click here on 570 KVI.
Smaller government, spoken here. This is Talk Radio 570 KVI.
Back we are, the John Carlson Show, Talk Radio 570 KVI. Okay, you heard what little 11-year-old Madison Root is doing down in Portland. She's basically showing Portland City Hall how silly their policies are, where they welcome vagrants and panhandlers in their farmers market, but they shush her away at age 11 from selling mistletoe because she didn't have the requisite paperwork. All right, let's head across the country to Detroit. 10-year-old girl who is showing everyone what entrepreneurship is really all about. Here's her story from WDIV-TV in the Motor City.
10-year-old Asia Newsom sells candles with her dad. Her big smile is matched by her passion to get other kids involved.
I teach young people like myself how to make their own money.
Her business is called Super Business Girl.
I want to let everyone know that I'm Detroit's youngest entrepreneur and I like to do what I like to do.
She was made to manage and she runs a super tight ship.
Some of my trainees are older than me, but I'm 10, and this is my company, and I'm the boss of the company, so you have to listen to me. And if you don't, then I don't know what to tell you.
Why aren't there more adults in Detroit like this little girl? Turns out 10-year-old Asia Newsom had a brush with private sector greatness in Detroit. She had a chance encounter with the owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers and also the founder of Quicken Loans, Dan Gilbert.
But she knew what to tell Dan Gilbert when they bumped into each other.
I see this big camera crew coming across the street while Asia was already talking to one of her customers. And they approached her, and it happened to be Dan Gilbert.
During her chance encounter with the Motor City business leader, she scheduled a follow-up meeting to discuss her future plans.
I would like to have a storefront in his building and the company we're building. That's my main goal.
Big thinking like that makes her parents proud.
She inspires me. She's kind. She's outspoken, you know, and she's intelligent.
Well, we had a big problem.
And she's focused. You know, she's also, you know, what she meets Dan Gilbert. What does she want? Real estate, baby. I need storefront. I need visibility. Anyway, those voices you heard, of course, were Asia's mom and dad. And listen to this little girl talk about her goals. Listen to her vision. And, of course, listen to her outlook. It's all about the future. In Detroit right now, they're in bankruptcy. They're all talking about how to pay the bills of the past, and they're coming to terms with, well, we've been borrowing money to pay for, well, money we've borrowed, and that's pretty much run its course. And there you have this little girl who's just completely focused on generating wealth, generating opportunity, generating profit. Couple of business owners in Detroit also mentoring Little Asia as she begins to expand her business plan for selling candles.
A Detroit startup, Bamboo Detroit, began advising Asia and her family nearly 3 months ago.
I think that she will become one of the most successful young persons that America has, in honesty.
They immediately saw that she has the right stuff.
She already has it right. She already knows about customers. She knows how to structure a business. It's incredible.
Yeah, she knows that it's all about customers. It's all about service. It's all about being able to put your product in people's hands, having employees who are trained, who know what they're doing. Yeah. You know, it's this, I tell you, one of these...
Like you said, building opportunity.
Asia and Madison meet up. Here we're talking a behemoth.
Is there anything those two couldn't accomplish if they did meet up? You know, the young lady in Detroit, she could be the next Jeff Bezos. As long as she doesn't want to have those candles delivered by drones.
By the way, speaking of Bezos, it was very interesting on 60 Minutes. Jeff Bezos gave the most unromantic, unnostalgic view of the private sector. You know what he said during the interview? He said, you know, most businesses that existed when I was a kid aren't here anymore. And most companies that are here now won't be around in a couple of generations. If they are, it's because they're going to evolve. And he was even that way about his own company. He says, you know, one of these days Amazon won't be here. He says, I hope it's after I'm dead. But, I mean, that's just his view of things. And, you know, I have to admit, I take a little bit more of a romantic view of, you know, yes, you can have heritage businesses, but they have to evolve. I mean, you know, yes, we love Boeing, but
there has to be a connection to the community.
Thank God they made the transition to the 747 and the 737 and the 787.
Or in that regard, I guess, military space contracts, yes, that they do too.
Help us win the Cold War. So. But back to Bezos. Amazon's plans to deliver packages by drone, which is on the drawing boards, is getting lots of backlash, as I predicted. Because I remember last year when Seattle police suspended their plan to do drone surveillance after people were complaining about it. John Rep from Como News Radio has the latest there.
Councilmember Bruce Harrell says Amazon can talk about futuristic drone deliveries, but nobody asked their customers. And in Seattle,
the public has made one thing clear. They don't like drones.
Harrell spoke with us earlier this year about the outcry to the city after police were talking about deploying two drones, eventually backing away from the plan. The Seattle Times reports Harrell's office has now been flooded with calls from people who want their airspace to themselves. Also today, Pacific Lutheran University in Tacoma hosts a forum on drones tonight. The debate focuses on their military use and their impact on the battlefield and on foreign policy. John Rep, Como News Radio.
Told ya.
The public has made one thing clear. They don't like drones.
If they try, and I understand Bezos is thinking, well, they don't like drones now because you notice them. But if they became, you know, so visible, so often, so much of the time that, you know, pretty soon you just ignore them the way you ignore, you know, crows and seagulls. I mean, you just ignore them. And I said, it doesn't work that way. You know, birds are not man-made and they're not man-centered. And most people are going to see drones coming overhead and they say, no, not in my airspace. So I don't think it's ever going to come to pass. And I'm not surprised that we're seeing this kind of backlash against them. It's 7:30.
That settles it. Listen all day. John Carlson. I didn't misspeak. The president lied. Laura Ingraham.
Just do what's right. It'll be conservative.
Glenn Beck.
I know what wins in the end, and it's freedom.
Mark Levin.
We have to make our voices heard. We have to save our country.
Lars Larson.
What do we do with a president who would lie to sell this Obamacare scheme to us?
Michael Savage.
Don't you understand that politicians are not to be trusted?
This is Talk Radio 570.